Turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians 1. We'll be reading verses 12 through 14. Philippians 1, 12 through 14. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Let's pray. God, our great God and Heavenly Father, we have love for thee, but we have fear of thee. Thy holiness is beyond our ability to understand, yet we come to thee because thou hast told us to boldly come before thee, that we might find grace to help in time of need, and this is our time of need. We ask that you bless the people here, the word spoken. We pray that you would draw us close to you. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's talk about the Christian life for a bit. The Christian life is not a life of ignorance. Not a life of emotion. Though emotion is involved. Paul wrote, I want you to understand. I want you to understand. Paul wrote something similar several times in his letters. There is this example in verse 12. Like I said, I want ye should understand. Then there is Romans 1 verse 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant. There it is right there. I don't want you to be ignorant. In other words, I want you to understand, brethren, that oftentimes I propose to come unto you, but was let or hithered hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. So, Paul preaching from Corinth told the church at Rome that he was planning to visit them. He wanted to see them, to see their spiritual fruit and take part in it. He let them know that he was on the way there, even though his plans had been delayed. His trip was delayed. Paul didn't want the saints at Rome to be ignorant of his plans. He didn't want them thinking that he cared little for them. He wanted them to know that he loved them and that he was coming to see them. Were Paul on earth today, would he write the same thing to us? Well, he would if the Holy Spirit so directed him. But let's look at the next passage about ignorance. God doesn't want his people to be ignorant. This is Romans chapter 10, verses 1, 2, and 3. Romans 10, 1 to 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That's Romans 10, verses 1, 2, and 3. God doesn't want his people to be ignorant. But the Jews were ignorant of a very important doctrine. They were ignorant of God's righteousness, and they thought that they could live righteously. They couldn't. They couldn't follow the law. But they tried. So going all the way back to the Jews before Christ, Paul wrote that they had a zeal of God, but they didn't know God. They had facts that had been passed down to them from generation to generation. But they didn't know God and his righteousness. A small majority did. But the great majority didn't. Listen to me. God doesn't want his people to be ignorant, because ignorance breeds heresy. Ignorance breeds heresy. Ignorance puts one at risk of false prophets and allows them to fall prey to Bible error. Ignorance does that. God wants his people to have knowledge of true Bible doctrine. And he wants you and me to know, in other words, his truth. You can get that kind of knowledge through personal Bible study. It happened to me. For example, I got my Reformed theology not from professors, nor from a book other than the Bible. I was Reformed and didn't even know it. I asked Dr. Bill about Reformed theology, and with a gleam in his eye, he replied, "Research it and write on it." So I did. Well, I learned that I was already Reformed. Thus, one can get doctrinal truth from studying the Bible, from personal Bible study. You can get doctrinal truth. Or from going to church to fellowship with the saints in Sunday school or in the worship service. You know what's best for you. So, but whatever way you choose, make sure you learn about God and his righteousness and submit yourself to his truth and to his righteousness so that you can partake of all the blessings of God. Make sure you learn that. We'll not go into it in any great detail, but I'll mention it right here. God doesn't want any of us to be ignorant of his return. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have died, saints who have died, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He's telling you right there that he's coming back. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let me say something right here. Ignorance is not bliss. New Testament says over and over again, I would not have you to be ignorant. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance shakes its fist. Ooh, that's the amen row right there. Ignorance shakes its fist in the face of God and says, go away. I don't want you. Leave me alone. I'll go my own way. Thus, there's Bible ignorance that breeds heresy and brings eternal torment. It's a terrible thing not to know Bible truth. But biblical ignorance is the worst kind of ignorance. For a man to spend his days in this life, in the next life on the wrong side of the river Styx, a man can do that because he's ignorant of thus saith the Lord. You know where the River Styx is? It's a molten liquid fire around hell. Dante talks about it in his Inferno. Biblical ignorance, let me repeat this, is the worst kind of ignorance. For a man can spend his days in the next life on the wrong side of the River Styx. Now that you know that, where that river is, don't be ignorant. And that's Dante was, he was Christian, I believe, but that's not, those were his words. It was figure of speech. But listen to this. There's another kind of ignorance that has devastating results too. Educational ignorance can be almost as bad. My generation, in its heyday, who were you among my generation? In its heyday, had a fling with ignorance, especially ignorance of history. Ignorance of history. And I believe that ignorance is with us today. Not maybe with us, but in America today. We used to sing, don't know much about history, biology, and all the other kinds of things. We don't know much about that. And we'd sit in class and say, what good is history to me? What little minds we had. The answer to that question, what good is history to me, is staring us in the face today, right here in America. Look around and see what's happening. We can give several reasons for the fix we're in, and we'd be right. But one of the major reasons is a deep ignorance of history. It seems that half the people in America think history began with their own birth. They don't know that issues today have been issues of concern for the past 6,000 years. I look at the word progressive, and I say to myself that progressives are not progressives. They're regressives. That's what they are. If they had knowledge of history, they wouldn't be regressive. For example, time and time again, socialism, communism have been tried, and each time those isms failed. But they raised their ugly heads again right here in America. People think that they have something new, something that they will, that will help the poor and downtrodden people. Socialism has failed every time it's been tried. Communism too. Then, if you don't know history, you don't know the horrors of Islamic terrorism. By the way, something you need to know is that, don't throw me out after I say this, something you need to know is that Dr. Oz is Muslim. And we have too many Muslims in power now. Think about that, Pennsylvanians. And if you don't know history, you don't know about the horrors of the French Revolution. 2.5 centuries ago, is that right? Yeah, 2.5 centuries ago. You don't know how people lost their heads because of class warfare. When a princess was told, and I've just read that it wasn't Marie Antoinette who said this, but when a princess over there in France was told that the people had no bread, she replied, let them eat cake. Class warfare is raising its ugly head in America today. There's always some of that in politics, but it seems that certain people in government are feeding the flames of class warfare right now. They want class warfare to help them break social restraints, thereby destroying the family and the church. If you don't know history, then you really don't know how Christianity has struggled over 2,000 years against those who seek to destroy the church. I bring all this up to you who already know most of this. You know how important history is, but perhaps you don't know that the history of the church is often the driving force behind secular history. You can't leave Christianity out of true secular history. As I said, the church often drives events in history. You can see it in the Bible, in the lives of Noah, Moses, the prophets, and the kings. You can see it in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All these events happened, and the world changed because of those events. Think of the apostles Peter and Paul. You can see it also in the lives of Augustine, however, Luther, Calvin, Zwingli. These men and their movements changed the world and were the catalyst that put us right here today in this building. We look back at the Pilgrims. Think about the Pilgrims and the founding of this nation, and we see how God directed its founding in AD 1620. As the Pilgrims set sail in the Mayflower and established Plymouth Colony. By the way, this 1619 project is based on Nicole Hannah Jones' desire to reframe the nation's history by placing the consequences of slavery and the contributions of Black Americans at the very center of the United States national narrative, dialogue. Yes, slavery was terrible a sin, and the consequences of that horrible period are with us today, but to present that history as truth is a lie. And if you don't know history, you can easily fall for that lie and all the emotional baggage that comes with it. God wants you to use your noggin so you don't fall prey to lies. You need to know history. One of the things you need to know is the life of Christ as recorded in the Bible. That's the main thing right there. It's right there in the scriptures. Paul wrote about it, and he wrote about his incarceration and the consequences of that incarceration. Listen to verses 13 and 14 again. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in the palace. The emperor knows about me, is what he's saying. And in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds because I'm incarcerated and I'm still preaching, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, God has established this church right here so that we can be a beacon of truth right here. It's our job to present Christ to the world. And if we are to be a beacon of truth here, we need to live the life of Christ right here. I'm talking about holiness. We need to be united in holiness and truth. Holiness, truth, and righteousness should shine forth from us in a way that will cause others to take note of that light. We don't have to be in prison as Paul was, but our holiness must be manifest in all this community. That holiness should be known by others, to others in this community. They need to see it. Why? They need to see it and fear God and trust Him. Next weekend is a wedding. I bet you didn't know that, right here in this place. Next weekend is a wedding. A wedding is scheduled to take place right here. We're likely to have some visitors here. We were talking about it a while ago. I don't remember the final numbers, but there are going to be some. And I don't know where they're coming from, but I pray that God will clear their hearts and minds and have them see Christ in us as the hope of glory right here next week. Every day, really, but next week here. Maybe He'll put a song on our lips while we praise God, and many shall see it and trust in the Lord. That's a paraphrase of Psalm 40, verse 3. It could happen right here next week. It could happen anytime this church is in session. As His people, God loves you. And He has love for others in this area. I often pray that God would reclaim this area for Himself. It's His anyway. It belongs to Him. I look out and I see Apollo, North Apollo, Vandergrift, Allegheny Township, and Oklahoma, not on a hill and not in a plain. Some of you will get to, oh, I see the yeses up and down. All right. How many people are in this area? I went to Wikipedia and checked out each one of those. And I don't know how many there are, but 20,000 maybe? There were 17,000 such and such back in 2010. So I'm going to be generous and give it 20,000 today. And of those people, I'm sure that God has His elect and unchurched people here in this area. I don't know how many that would be, but God could reclaim those people from the world and have them take a seat right here. I don't know. Maybe He will. Will He? I don't know. Let me get straight here. But I know He can, and I know that we can pray that He does. This area belongs to Him. And many of those people are elect people. God could send 20 people here and double the size of this congregation. Actually, all He needs to do that is 13, I think, today. We need to pray that He does. We could start a little lower if you want. We could ask God to send 5 new people here this year. Do you think that number is too high? If so, you can supply your own number, but be praying that God will send people here. And we need to expect God to do that because we have truth right here. And people need truth. Sometimes the snow and ice gets in our way, gets us down. We've canceled 2 prayer meetings in a row. But guess what? That doesn't stop the church's prayer. God hears your prayer in Christ's name, even when you're all alone in the dark of the night. So pray that way. Take gospel tracts with you. Got some right here. Need to put the church's stamp on them, if I can find the church stamp. Take gospel tracts with you and tell others about us. And when you talk to them, be excited about what God is doing right here. And I think God is working right here. Tell them that though this church has been knocked down 1 or 2 times, and you know it has, tell them that it's still standing in truth and righteousness. Tell them that we are continuing on and we plan to continue on till Christ returns. What I'm talking about is not a pipe dream. This is something that can happen in God's power. God loves you and he loves his elect unchurched people too. God loves his elect and saved people in liberal Bible denying churches. And there's some around here. God can open their eyes and have them run from that error. He had Elder Randy Haller do that very thing. He had Jim McLaughlin leave an apostate church. God put them right here. I'm not sure, but I believe there may be others here who have separated themselves from apostate churches. God's done it before, and he can do it again. And we need to be confident. To be confident and bold as we speak the word of truth to other people. And we need to be excited about this place. Now, here's my paraphrase of Philippians 1:14, the last verse from which we started this. I say, wax confident, be bold. Speak God's word without fear. Speak to your friends, churched and unchurched. Maybe God would have them here. And remember that God had Paul write, but I would ye should understand. In other words, God doesn't want us to be ignorant of Bible truth. So let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come to you again because we need thee, Lord. We don't know how much we need thee, but you do. So we ask that you would supply our need, draw us close to thee, help us to love thee and serve thee, and bless the people who are here and who listen to this sermon on the internet. Lord, we pray these things in Christ's name and in Jesus' name. Amen.